That's a flavor of what we experienced in Poland. Again, it was such a great experience for us, and we certainly enjoyed it. David Martin, again, was on that trip. Robert and Michelle Donnelly, Stan Young, Jerry Vaughn, my wife, and myself. And we thoroughly were challenged and encouraged as we were on the trip together. It was great to be with the Heskews in the place where they serve and are giving their heart and life and soul in so many ways. And so it was great to be in their home. It was great to be at their home church, to be able to serve also with two other missionary couples from the IMB that serve in that area as well. It's interesting that the couple in the coffee shop, that they're actually from the Bethany area. And so they've set up, and so they serve with a different mission sending organization, but they've got a coffee shop around there where they use that place for conversations to be able to open up ways to be able to share about Jesus Christ, which is a huge portion of what we did there. Not only did we want to encourage the church that we were with, but we wanted to find those opportunities for us to be able to share the gospel with the people there. And so that happened largely through English as a second language times at the church. So there were a couple of nights that we did that there at the church. And then also those table talk times that happened at the coffee shop. And so it was great to be a part of that. And then we had opportunity to be able, as you saw in the video there, where I was standing with Pastor Kay. He's the pastor of Mishlawaski. Anyway, I'm trying to say the church name right. But he was the pastor of the church there. And so it was great to be able to go out with him and others from their team there from the church to share the gospel. As a matter of fact, one of the interesting ladies that shared the gospel with us, she was a part of, at one point, a Polish volleyball team. And she was out witnessing with us. I think she actually was with Jerry Vaughn's team. She's a member of the church there, but she came to faith in Christ some dozen years earlier with that church doing witnessing in the square. So it was just a great opportunity and a great thrill to be able to be there. We're trying to pull up another part of the PowerPoint here, so it may come up here in just a moment. There it is. And so I wanted to be able to share with you all tonight a little bit of a different angle in regard to our trip and how it impacted us in being there. I think part of it, as we send out so many to Poland, it would be a question like, why do a trip like this to Poland? And we probably do think through to some degree what the answer is. But all in all as well, why is QSBC so heavily involved and invested in missions? So right now we have a team in India, right? We've sent teams to East Asia this year. We've sent people all over the globe. And certainly you all hear of our mission work often. We talk about it often. But why are we involved in missions? So I wanted to take some time to be able to do that. And then I wanted to share something with you this evening that I hope is extremely practical to you. So why missions? Well, I'm going to go back to what we share as our own DNA as a church with our mission statement. Now, you know that there's the bigger mission statement, right, that's about a paragraph long that I haven't memorized. Don't tell Hans. But anyway, there is a bigger mission statement that he really took and synthesized and broke down into these three easy statements, which is gathering together, building up, and sending out. We are about gathering together. Look, we're doing it tonight. Look at each other. You see that? Now, let me ask you this. Are you encouraged by seeing the people in this room? Are you encouraged when you drive up and you see cars in the parking lot? I am. It's cool. We're about gathering together so that the body is strengthened. And we're here to hear, to sing praise, to pray with one another. It's a wonderful thing. We're about gathering together to be built up. Right? So I know that many of you all remember these. We're about being built up, not swelled up, not puffed up, right? This isn't a pride deal. It's not about just cold Bible knowledge and facts. But it's about being built up so that we are sent out. So as you look across this room again tonight, be aware, even as I've followed pictures on social media of our team that's in South Asia, we are sending out people with the gospel. There are millions of people who need to hear. There are people that need to hear in our own city. And we're about that. So why missions? If you ever have wondered that, I wanted to answer that question again tonight corporately. We are about sending out. But also, on an individual level, as I'm a member here at Quail Springs Baptist Church, I want to connect corporately in worship. I want to connect in a small group. I want to have those large experiences together to be able to worship the Lord together. But I want to have relationships with people in this body of Christ that build me up, that I'm tethered to, that I'm accountable to, that I encourage, that I lift up. I think about things that are happening in our church family, even tonight, of those that I've seen that are under burden, that need support and care. We're about being connected with one another, but also about committing in membership to be a member of Quail Springs Baptist Church, faith in Christ, following Him, a koinonia, but even deeper than that, the body of Christ here at Quail Springs Baptist Church, so that we link arms together to be able to contribute. Sure, when you see that, I know that you think about money immediately, contribution. Look, my family's invested here. We give, right? We all give. That's a part of what we do as believers in faith in Christ, as connection to the church. But we also give of our time and of our talent. So when you think about the big picture of Quail Springs Baptist Church, we're about gathering together, we're about building up, we're about being sent out. On an individual level, how are you connected? Have you made a commitment to the body of Christ at Quail? And then how are you contributing? What are you doing with your time, talents? How has the Lord plugged you in to be able to serve in this place? So why do we do missions? It's a part of who we are. But there's something else about being on mission that happened even with this last trip. One thing, when you go on a journey like that with a team of people, if you've traveled like that before, you know what I'm talking about. One thing is your prayer is enhanced. Not because of the group of people you're with. Oh, don't jump ahead of me. Your prayer is enhanced because of the things that you're sacrificing. You know, this trip for us, we're leaving our kids behind. So there was more than a week where we're coming apart, making sure that they're taken care of, hoping that everything stays all right at home, that people are praying for us, that we have an open door. So prayer is definitely enhanced. But here's what I love about going with a team, is that those relationships are deepened. Not only are other people praying for us, we're praying for one another, but I can tell you right now that with Jerry Vaughn, with the Donnellys, with Stan, with David, with my wife, the experiences that we had there, now we're forever altered. There were some great things that we experienced in the work, in the load. That's just a unique thing that gives a deepening. So I love that, of being able to experience something together. This was the first trip for my wife and I to be able to travel with one another. So she got her passport this summer and made it on this trip. And with other trips that I've been on, it's been so hard to be able to describe, to be able to share what those trips were like. But finally, we've been able to share this one together. So when you go with a group of people, there's a deepening that happens. That group, and I know that as I look out and see them in this room, we're going to always be changed because of the experience that we had on this trip. But another thing great happens on these trips, and that is that the missionaries that we encountered and the churches that we are a part of, they're strengthened. Look, sitting in the home with the Heskews, I hope that they were encouraged. I believe that they were. But I hope that they were encouraged by us being there and being a part of the work with them. How can we help you? What can we do with you? But then also with the church. And the Heskews shared that with us, that with the consistency of what Quail Springs Baptist Church has done with the Polish church, that they're seeing over and over and over again our commitment to walk with them to be able to reach our world for Christ. That's a part of what being on mission is about, but obviously it's about sharing the good news, right? I mean, relationship deepening is great. Prayer is awesome, how that we're strengthened and find our need in prayer, that others are strengthened in the work. But at the end of the day, the focus is to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Look, we got to see and experience some incredible things while we were there. As a matter of fact, the church was in the same neighborhood, the same area as the factory where Schindler was, Schindler's factory. we did do Auschwitz and Birkenau to help us understand the people and what they've gone through, all the depth of the history of that place. But in the end, it is about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. When you go on a trip like this, there's great preparation. And there are all kinds of questions, from itinerary to flights, all that kind of good stuff. But more than that, there's the preparation of our hearts to be able to share the gospel, to be equipped, to have the tools, to be ready to go. Can I just say that Ray Anderson is a blessing? Amen? You all know that, but I want to affirm that with our team in preparation to go to Poland, we met numerous times to be able to talk through again. I would call some things that would, in the scheme of things, wind up being insignificant. But he helped us and he trained us and he prepped us to be ready to be used in all those different circumstances. So there's definitely a focus with preparation. We definitely spent time being prayed up. As groups are sent out from this group, I know that we often gather around people, lay hands on them, pray for them as they're going out the door. Many of you may have bookmarks even now where you're praying for the team that's in South Asia. So definitely there's a focus with that. And then there are also, with our teams that go out, few distractions. When I traveled with Tobin Jackson to East Asia, there are giggles, yes. Tobin had a strategy where there were no bags allowed other than one backpack. So I'm not talking, you know, what about carry-ons, what about luggage, all that. It was the one backpack for the length of stay that we were going to be there. So we pack everything in those backpacks, and that's how we're getting around. Now, the cool thing about that, when we hit the ground, we literally could hit the ground running because there's nothing. We're not encumbered by big bags or anything like that. We were on our way. As we prepare to send out teams and as we were prepared, one of the things that I really, really enjoy is that we clear away distractions. We get single in our intent of what we're about, which is to hit the road, to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So we're working to be ready. But here's how I want to encourage you this evening. We do those trips. We experience some things that are a little bit more intense because of the nature of what those trips are. But in the end, when I come back, I'm always convicted about having the same energy and the same fervor right outside my front door. Amen? So part of us being a part of this grand global mission work is so that we're encouraged tonight to be a part of the grand global mission work that's right outside our door. And that's how I want to encourage you this evening. So I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. Being ready at home. Let me share with you just a couple of tools. Is that okay? You see, I went to the School of Religious Education, now Christian Education, at Southwestern Seminary. So I was kind of in the markers and cardboard and that kind of stuff, lesson planning, you like that? And so I love being able to do things that I hope that even tonight are practical. Get something into your hands. Because again, as we were prepping as a team, look, when we knew that we were going out the door to, hey, you're about to do English as a second language, or you're about to hit the Rinnick, the city square where you're going to need to share the gospel, like just with people that walk up, you want to have things where you're ready to roll, right? What I want to do tonight is some of the same thing, is to get some things into your hand. One of the things that I'm working on to be able to have discussions with my neighbors and others right now is just a simple question. Hey, listen, I'm praying for some friends of mine. Is there anything that I can pray for you? Just to be able to open up a conversation. There's one gentleman in particular that lives in my neighborhood that the next time I see him, I'm so ready to be able to ask him if I can pray for him just like I'm praying for my friends, to open that door to a spiritual conversation. As a matter of fact, we've talked about this one before, at least I think, to be able to use fire to turn conversations to spiritual things. So what does this mean? As you talk with people, is to move things towards evangelism, the gospel, is to ask them about their family. Tell me a little bit about your family. Who doesn't like to talk about their family? Most people do. Tell me a little bit about your background, your interests, the I. are for religion. Do you happen to go to church anywhere? Do you go to church on Sundays? Just to be able to turn that corner. Do you ever think about spiritual things to be able to share the gospel? And then something that I wanted to do with you tonight, which is called the bridge illustration. Here's the neat thing about the bridge illustration. Even if you don't use it, it'll be something that will be in your mind that I would pray that in the future that you could use, even if it's in conversation, even if you don't use the drawing. Now, here's the deal. I got with a top-notch artist to be able to draw out the images that you're about to see. Okay, it was me, and I scanned them in on the copier. And that's true, because I want you to see how simple that the bridge illustration is. Now, here's the thing. Even as I say that we're going to look at the bridge illustration, some of you may say, well, I've seen that before. Or with the bridge illustration that we're using, Romans 6:23. Well, I know that verse. I've seen some of this. But if I ask you, would you please pray about sharing that as soon as possible? Not just understanding it, but can you share it? I think that changes the tenor of it. It moves from, oh yeah, I get that, that's really simple, to, hey, I'm going to use this to find someone that I can share this illustration with soon. So with that said, Brother James referenced the yellow cards earlier. If you want something to write on, there are some yellow cards, or I've even noticed that with our handy-dandy bulletin tonight, that you could flip that over. And I'd want to encourage you, if you've never done this before, or even if you have, is to write this out with me tonight. See, I told you it was going to be active. The basis of the bridge illustration really comes from Romans 6:23. And a fellow, by the way, of Randy Raisbrook, is the one who really came up with the concept of being able to draw it out this way. But what you could do is, with a napkin, piece of paper, cardboard, whatever is handy, is you literally write the verse from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our Lord. So you could write that anywhere on really the top of the page. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, here's where the high-definition graphics really kick in. So get ready. Look at that. Is that the best stick man you've ever seen? Yeah, there I am. So draw a stick man there on your page, and then God on the other side. And then you'd basically do a circle or a box around the word wages. So as you're talking with someone, is to be able to say, so with this verse, let me just explain a couple of the words. You'll notice that I've got myself drawn here, or a person, and their relationship with God, and trying to figure out how to make that work. Some of the reasons why things don't work in our relationship with God, if there's confusion about that, one of the main things is that there are wages involved. What do wages mean to you? And you could simply ask that question. What is a wage? Well, it's something that you earn, right? Something that you've worked for, you've earned it in some way. But notice what it says here is that there's also that word sin. There's a wage that's earned for sin. Now, what do you think sin is? Well, sin would be like missing the mark. And by the way, on a side, what a great word this morning from the pastor, right? About evil in your eyes, about iniquity, about transgression. Listen, if people are under conviction of the Holy Spirit, they know what sin is, but you can still unpack it. Missing God's mark. The wages of sin. So what does that look like? What does sin do to us? It literally separates us from God. And you could draw a little cavern there, a little canyon. You see, when sin impacts my life, it keeps me separated from God, that no matter how hard I try to get across that canyon, no matter how hard I could run, try to jump, build my own things to make it, there is no way that I can make it to God. And to make matters worse is this word, death. So again, you could write the word wages and sin and death on man's side of the canyon. To make matters worse is this, that in our sin and what we earn from our sin is literally death, physically, emotionally, spiritually, but ultimately eternally, separated from God. But is a great connector here. So you can circle that and put that there at the bottom of the page. But the gift, when you think about wages, it's something that you've earned. But when you think about a gift, it has nothing to do with earning anything. It's literally something that's presented to you from someone else, just of their own volition, of their own accord, a gift. It's given. It's a present. So wages and sin and death. But look at the other side. There's a great gift of God. It's not given by man. It's not worked up by anyone else. But it is from God. And it involves eternal life. So whereas on one side of the canyon, there are wages for our sin, and that wage ultimately is death. But there's a gift that comes from God that involves eternal life. So how in the world do we make that happen? Well, Christ Jesus truly is the answer. And He died on a brutal cross as a gift of sacrifice for you and for me. He laid down His life to build a bridge so that we might be able to cross from death and sin to life everlasting in God. Now there's one final word here that would be of interest, and that is Lord. Jesus Christ has done this. It's settled. But what may not be settled is the word Lord. Lord, what does that mean? Boss, king, the one who's calling the shots. In other words, I give up that spot in my own life and I say, Jesus, I want You to be the Lord of my life. There's no way that I can make this. There's wages of sin and death if I take care of anything. But if I trust You as Lord, I can cross the bridge and have a relationship with God that's full of eternal life. So for you, whether you're in a restaurant or a library or riding with somebody or talking in an office or having a coffee break, you're at Starbucks, it would be easy for you to remember, because I would imagine that most of us in this room know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. To be able to do this, to share the gospel completely with someone. But some may in this room say, well, now wait a second, I'm not sure about what would happen next. Let me give you a couple things that I like that actually come from a program called Evangelism Explosion. Hey, if you died today, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? It's a great question. Or let me ask it this way. If you died today and you stood before God Almighty and He asked, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? If you stood before the Lord, what would you say? Another thing that you can do with folks as well is something like this. If they're thinking, well, how can I connect the dots? How can I make this happen? Do you want to ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life? You know what I did? When I was just a kid, I prayed a prayer that was something like this. I prayed, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that my life is filled with sin. I'm separated from You by my own rebellion. And Jesus, I ask You to save me and forgive me. And I ask You to be the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? If you prayed a prayer like that, you too could experience walking across that bridge to free life, to new life in Him. So that's also helpful as well. Being ready at home. We have that laser beam focus when we're going on a trip to be reminded of doing the work of an evangelist, of getting in the harvest, of doing the work. And so part of me sharing with you tonight is being accountable with you tonight, and for us to be accountable with one another, to stay focused in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the lost world that desperately needs to hear. So I've got a few things for you tonight. Not only do you have those unbelievable graphics that you just were coached through so that you can take that with you. And by the way, here's what I want you to do. Take that, maybe fold it up, put it in your pocket, or find the magnet on the refrigerator and place that there just as a reminder that I need to share the bridge with someone. Or maybe tonight, I've got some tracks up front. We've got Light the Night that comes up this week, opportunities to be able to share the gospel with others. Maybe you take a track. I've got Eternal Life tracks up here. Or also there are some pumpkin-themed tracks as well if you want to take one of those for Light the Night. But grab something that way, and obviously to pray as well. And then as we do on our trips, and as we walk out the door from this place even tonight, is to watch for opportunities to be able to share. Does that sound good? Okay. We want to equip others. You know, another thing that would be a blessing is with your family or just with a friend is to say, hey, have you ever seen the bridge illustration? Because it's really cool. I mean, I know that you, perhaps you know that they're a believer, but you just want to equip them with some ways to stay hot-hearted in sharing the good news. I'd want to encourage you to do that as well. That may be a good way to practice too. So let me ask you to bow your heads with me. And we're going to pray and we're going to be on our way. But as you bow your heads tonight, someone may be in this room who's never crossed the bridge. You see the cross of Christ in that illustration, and you know that you're on the other side. Maybe someone in here tonight is wrestling with that. Everyone in this room who's trusted Christ as their Savior, we want you to cross that bridge. Our desire would be for you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Don't wait. Don't wait to do that. So in just a moment, we're going to stand, and I'm going to be up front, but there are others that are available too. I would love to talk with you tonight about how you can cross that bridge. So please don't wait to do that. We want you to experience eternal life in Jesus Christ. Maybe there are others here tonight, and you haven't joined. When I talked about connecting at Quail and committing your life at Quail, you realize that you haven't committed your heart here. And you want to contribute your time and your talent, your offering to the Lord in this place. I would want to encourage you to do that, to take that step to do that. So don't wait to do that either. Lord, we thank you so much tonight for the body here at Quail. We thank you, Lord, that you equip us and that you use us in being a part of your gospel work, Lord. And I thank you for the encouragement of Pastor Kay as I was able to share the good news in the city square with him, to know, God, that if we're obedient in that way, you build your church. So I pray, God, that you would equip us, that you would use us, and that we'd simply be obedient to you, Lord, to watch, to pray, to be ready to share the good news with those around us. Lord, we do love you so much, and we thank you for this opportunity tonight, Father, to continue to be equipped. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand at this time, and if you need to do business with the Lord, don't wait.
Who can cheer a heart like Jesus by His presence all divine?